I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. How are you all doing this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Are you saved?
Amen.
You love life?
Amen.
Do you love your Savior?
Amen.
Amen. Love God. Love your word. Love the brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, that one was a little weak. But this morning, I want to talk a little bit more about calling. And when we start talking about calling, there are certain things that the Lord calls us unto as believers. Calling is not always being called to a certain ministry like we think. Like an individual being called to be a pastor of a church, or a person being called to work in a children's ministry, or a person called to be a missionary on a foreign field. Those are things that, yes, they are callings, but there are general callings that are important because those other ones are secondary. If you don't have the first general calling understood, those second ones, you're not going to get what you're doing. You may be called to that, but you got to follow what the first calling is. And what we're seeing and as we move through this, we've seen individuals called for specific ministries, how the Lord prepares us for those things, how the Lord uses situations in our life, how He develops us. And what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is a calling here that is very interesting. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want us to jump all the way down to verse 9. And in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says this: God is faithful. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
By whom ye are called, or were called, unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for the time. I thank You again, Lord, for all those that are here this morning. Lord, I just want to lift up Your name and praise it for who You are, for the salvation that You wrought on the cross for us, for the forgiveness of sins, the conquering of sin and death through Your resurrection, the power that is displayed in who You are, Your goodness, Your greatness, Your mercy, Your love, Your long-suffering, all of these things, Lord, that we think about, that You are faithful to. And Lord, I just thank You so much for sending someone to tell me about the need for a Savior. I thank You so much for loving parents that brought me up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I thank You so much, Lord, for those that have been in my life to lead and to guide into those paths that You have outlined in Your Word. And Lord, again, I thank You above all for that Word that You have given to us that contains the Word of life, that contains those words of salvation, that contains Your will, that contains the wisdom and knowledge of You. And Lord, I just pray this morning, our hearts will be humble, that Lord, we will approach this subject with humility, that Lord, we would learn from it, that we would use it to accomplish Your will. Lord, I thank You again for all that You've done for us. May Your Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. I pray this in Your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul starts to talk to the church at Corinth about some issues in the church. And there's a lot of issues in the church at Corinth. In total, he wrote three letters. We only have the two. I really want to know what the third one is, but I'm just going to have to leave that to curiosity that I'll figure out later on, and on the other side of glory. But the two that we have deal with some fairly serious subject matters. And what we find with 1 Corinthians, the problems that were going on are divisions in the church. Everybody is at each other's throat. Everybody's got their own pet doctrine. Everybody's got their own pet preacher. Everybody's got their own pet song. Everybody's got their own thing, and they're doing all their own things in an unbiblical manner, because that's not what God wants in a church. And what do we find here is we find that as he starts identifying some things, and we know, as I've said before, the pinnacle chapter of 1 Corinthians is chapter 13. If you're going to understand anything about what's all going on in the rest of the book, it is chapter 13 that makes everything just fit together. You get to that peak, he builds up to it, you come to that pinnacle, and then everything else that comes down afterwards all makes sense in relationship to what he's saying about how you treat another person with charity. If you don't have charity, he says you are nothing. You can do nothing without charity. What you do is without charity is going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn. God has a very clear idea of what he wants and a clear will he has expressed through the Word of God for us to do. And what we find in this passage, and in verse 9, is he says there's a calling, and this calling is a calling to fellowship. Now look, let me identify a couple of things here. First and foremost, back up to verse 2. Who is he talking to? He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. There's an important principle with that. If you're saved, you're sanctified, meaning you're being set aside for his use. Learning how to use that sanctification is a critical thing. If you don't know how to use that sanctification and do the things that are sanctified, then you're going to struggle in this Christian life, okay? But as we move on here, he says, in this, called to be saints. Called to be saints. You are called to be a saint. How many of us would say we've had done saintly activity in the last couple of days? How many of us would say we probably didn't? I'm not asking for a time of testimony, but I'm just saying we have a hard time with even that word. We want to call ourselves sinners. God doesn't call us sinners. If you're saved, he's called you to be a saint. We have to act like one. There's an expectation of what a saint is. This is what this book is about. This is how you behave like a saint. In order to behave like a saint, you got to have charity. All the things that you've been given, all the gifts that you've been given, all the things that the Lord shows you that even leads to the gospel of Jesus Christ in chapter 15, it is all there so you would know how to be a saint, which is your calling, which is your calling. But in verse 9, he says there's a calling unto fellowship. And this fellowship is just clearly described. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want us to point this, I want to point this out. These two callings that we find in this very first chapter, in the introduction to this letter, the opening part of this letter, is important to grasp in our life. If you do not realize that God has called you to be a saint and operate as a saint, then you are not going to understand the calling of his fellowship. Because this fellowship is not just fellowship with people. This fellowship is fellowship with Christ. This fellowship is fellowship with Christ. And look, let me identify something here really quick, clearly. The Lord says there has got to be a change in the way you think. Amen. We've talked about that. And the way you think is going to require a change in your heart. What you love and what you desire. If you desire something that is outside of God's will, you're not changing your thinking. You're conforming your thinking to the world's ways. So what do? We have to change, and as he says, transform that mindset. So as we think about this, we realize there must be a change in our heart. Look, if you're going to accomplish how to be a saint, that calling, you're going to accomplish the things that we find in the rest of this book, 1 Corinthians, you've got to have a change of heart. And when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you are a new creature. If you're a new creature, you got to start doing new things. You have to start being a saint. Yeah, you can't just sit there and think, well, I've got a saint mentality and not do anything. That's not how it works. And we're not talking about the calling of saint this morning, but I want to point out that they are linked in this manner. And if they're linked in this manner, then it means that there must be something in our heart that has to change. And it changes with whom we fellowship. Now, obviously, we know that when you are a born-again, saved child of God, you should not fellowship with the things of the world. Because the fellowship of the world is just carnality. The fellowship of the world leads to sin. The fellowship of the world leads to debauchery. Now, I'm not talking about engaging in things that you have to do, like work. Work is, yes, I understand that there is a carnal element to it, but God says there is a spiritual component to it by which you must work physically. Okay? I remember thinking about this verse a long time ago when I was young and thinking about fellowship and going, oh, well, if I'm to not be a friend of the world and have anything that's worldly and things of that nature, then I guess I don't have to go to school. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about fellowship of the world in the form of iniquity, sin, transgressions, all the things that you can line up under that name and under that heading and put in that box. There are things that we are allowed to do in liberty. I mean, we can go and we can enjoy the things that God gives us. You can go on a nice, hike in this area, and there are some beautiful hikes in this area. Amen? My favorite place is the Lower Susan. I love to hike there. I know it's still kind of ravaged from some of the fire that was through there, but that was one of my favorite places to hike. I love that place. Well, the first time I went over there and I hiked it, I was like, I love this. There's one trail, there's all these the little waterfalls all over, and it is a beautiful thing. You know, that's not carnality, because I realize who made that. Amen. Who blessed me with those things. Who it speaks of, the glory of God. But what I'm getting at here is that when we move from the mindset of sinner to saint and we change who it is that we fellowship with, the first and foremost is not to go around and start fellowshipping with other Christians. Like, wait, hold on a second. Did you just say don't fellowship with other Christians? Look, fellowship with other Christians without fellowship of Jesus Christ is meaningless. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ first? Because that's going to dictate how you fellowship with them. Well, I mean, you kind of get an understanding of what the word fellowship means. There's a root that is there, and that word is fellow. And that word fellow has a great connotation throughout, it's used throughout Scripture. There's Daniel and his fellows, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those guys, those four, they hung out. Why? Because they were all of the same mind, and most importantly, they were of the same purpose. That's what a fellow is. That's what a fellow is. We see all sorts of lists of individuals that are fellows. Paul talks about them. There's a fellow helper. There is a work fellow and a fellow worker. There is a person that is a fellow prisoner, a fellow citizen, a fellow heir, a fellow servant, a fellow soldier, a yoke fellow, a fellow laborer. There's a lot of fellows. All of those fellows are intended to show that there is a mindset that is singular. There is a mindset that is focused on one thing, and that is the purpose of Jesus Christ. And you compound all those words together with whether it is helper, worker, citizen, heir. It says that you are connected to those individuals through something. And what connects us is Jesus Christ. So the first thing that you have to do, like we were talking about the vine this morning, is you got to be connected to Jesus Christ. If you're not connected to Jesus Christ and you're off doing your own thing, guess what? You're in the wrong group. You're in the wrong group. It starts with the fellowship of Jesus Christ, which is what happens and occurs upon salvation. You start a different fellowship. You think about that word, and again, what it, talking about fellow, you know, it shows a relationship to another person. It shows a close relationship. It shows that there is somebody that is of the same mind and the same heart to do something for the same cause. It is people that are allied together that are working for that self-same purpose and cause. And what is that? The will of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
It's the will of God. That's what we are doing. And we do those things because we love the Lord and we want to obey the Lord. Now, I'll say this. The second part of that word fellowship is the word ship. What does that mean? It means we're all in the same boat. Amen? If you're in fellowship, that means that you are in the same thing. You are right there in the same situation. You're in the same environment. You're in the same whatever it may be. But you're in the same boat, all tied together, doing the same thing. Look, if you decide to get out of the boat, you better hope you can walk on water. Because it's not going to end well. The Bible talks about how those mariners that were over there in the book of Jonah, it calls them fellows. They started talking to, you know, their fellows about what they were going to do and what was going on. And then they realized that Jonah wasn't their fellow. And then they realized, oh, we're not fellowshipping with you. You're getting out of the ship. So when he said, throw me out, they were like, I don't know about this. And then as things got worse, it's like that became a thought process of maybe this guy's got something. And out he goes. He was no longer fellow shipping. You realize, I mean, and while that may be a simplistic way of putting it, I want to get us to the understanding of we're talking about the same mind of Christ. When you are called to fellowship, this fellowship of Jesus Christ, it is the fellowship that is the same mindset for the same purpose. Let's examine this a little bit more. I want us to see some things. I want you to look at this in verse 9. Who is the one that is calling here? Yeah, this is okay, I'll clarify. This is a youth group answer. It is? There you go, thank you. It's God. It is God that is the one that is calling here. This is not something that is a man that is calling. This is not Paul that is calling. This is not Apollos. This is not Cephas. This is God himself calling. I mean, the context is right there. I mean, verse 9, it starts off with God. So we know who is speaking at this point. God is faithful, and it says, by whom? It is by whom? This is not man's calling. It is not the voice of a person that is beckoning. It is the Creator and the Savior that is calling every believer to a specific determined action, to a specific determined purpose. And that is fellowship of Jesus Christ. It is fellowship of Jesus Christ. This is God that is giving this. Look, we know there are authorities in this life. The Bible talks about it, amen? There are authorities that you have to obey. We're little rebels. I don't have to do what he says. I'm going to do my own thing. No, that doesn't work well. Especially when you're doing something that is against the law. Again, if I decide to go rob a bank, you guys are probably secretly thinking I'm secretly planning something. I am not, okay? But I'm just using that as a blatant example. If I rob the bank, I am breaking the law. A federal law, I am going to prison, okay? And if I say, well, you know, to the judge, well, I just didn't, you know, I don't obey the authorities over me. And he's going to look at me and go, too bad, so sad. There's some jail cells and some bars and, you know, some guards that are going to make sure that you understand the concept of authority, amen? There are things that we have to obey. There are people we have to obey. Parents, or excuse me, children, you have to obey who? Your parents. You're like, no. God says obey it. If it aligns up with the Word of God, you obey it. If they say clean your room, you obey it. They say you do the dishes, you obey. They say brush your teeth, you obey it. They say rob a bank, don't. Have a conversation. Say, that's not godly. But you understand what I'm getting at is here. This is God that is calling. When you study the scriptures, you have to take a look at and ask, who is the one that is making these statements? Who is the one that is asking this? Who is the one that is giving this calling? It's God that gives the call. It's God that gives the call. I want you to note here that there's the descriptor that I just kind of pointed out there. And this is important to this passage because it's faithful. God is faithful. And what that does is it sets the tone of what he's beginning to talk about with this. And one thing that you need to make sure you are in life, in your Christian life, is faithful. You got to be faithful to what he has called you to. If he's called you to be a saint, you've got to be faithful to that calling. You've got to work worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, according to Ephesians chapter 4. What does that mean? That means that if you are a steward of what God has given you, and you are a steward of the life that he bought on the cross for you, guess what? You are required to be found faithful, as he tells the church at Corinth. You're not your own. Your life belongs to Jesus. You got to be faithful in it. One of the most important things that you have to be faithful in is your fellowship with your Savior. Your fellowship with Jesus Christ. If I am not faithful in my fellowship with Jesus Christ, and I am not operating in the same environment, I'm not operating in the same mindset, I'm not operating in the same purpose, I am out of fellowship with God. Well, what is he called us to do as fellows? How do we fellowship with Jesus Christ? Well, first and foremost, read your Bible. But don't just read it. Read it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Study it. And above all, when you're doing all four of those, pray over it. Pray for wisdom. Pray for discernment. Pray for understanding. Amen. Don't just sit there and read it and expect it's all of a sudden just going to fall upon you like, oh. Guess what you need to do? What does he say over in the book of Proverbs? What do you have to do for wisdom? Seek it. So where do you seek it? From the source. God himself. So what do? You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm getting ready to read your book. I want to receive something today. Lord, teach me. Lord, guide me. Lord, show me something that I need in my life. Lord, convict me. Lord, comfort me. Lord, help me. Amen. You'll get more out of your reading. Yeah. You'll get more out of your study. You'll get more out of your meditating. And you'll get more out of your memorization. Pray. That's how you begin to be faithful with those things. And then furthermore, with the faithfulness is what you get and what you receive, you freely give. As it comes in, you send it out. If it just sits inside of you, it'll grow stale and stagnant, and you'll be some bitter old person. That's not what God wants, amen? So what we see here in the next part of this verse where we talk about God is faithful, and it says, what are we being called to? Well, this is the fellowship. You're called unto the fellowship. And as with all calls, there's always an action involved with it. If you're called to be a saint, you have to be saintly. If you are called to walk worthy, you're walking. Moses was called to lead. People were called in Exodus to create, to build and craft things for the temple. There's a calling, amen? And there's an action with associated with that calling, and it is a calling unto fellowship. Fellowship is not a state. Fellowship is an active thing. Fellowship is action. And to fully understand the call, we have to know how that word is defined, just like we were talking about. And again, fellowship is not just some sort of casual get-together. The other day, some of the guys from church, we went and we had some breakfast. And which, by the way, if some of you guys saw what was going on there with the guy that showed up later as we were leaving and he showed up and started talking to us as a group, he initially rejected that track that Mark tried to give him. He later took the track, amen? He later, when I handed it to him as we were leaving, I said, look, I understand you don't want to do things that are whatever, I get it. But this is Bible. You've been talking about Bible. You know what the Bible is. Read these. This is just Bible verses. So pray for Jim. Pray for Jim. But that being said, we got together. Look, while we got together and it was kind of a loose thing and we're all just kind of eating breakfast, some people will say, well, that's fellowship. No. Look, fellowship isn't just getting together and having some sort of interaction like that. That's not fellowship. That is something that we want to call fellowship, but fellowship means that you're coming together for the same purpose, and that is to please the Lord our God. But what we find with this fellowship here is that this fellowship is not a loose association. And the reason why I'm saying that is this, is look, if you get together for a dinner, that's a good thing. But let's not call it fellowship, because fellowship is something where you're specifically engaging. And what we find here in this passage is this, is when you're fellowshipping, it is not a casual get-together of associates, as we often use. It is something that has an intent, and it has a purpose. And this passage is it means very clearly here, a specific company of individuals that have come together and they have a maintained focus to do something that has a familiarity and has a specific, conclusion to what is going to happen. Well, I say all that to say this. Fellowship with Christ isn't just thrown together. Fellowship with Christ doesn't just happen. Fellowship of Christ is something that you do when you are purposing to say, I want to fellowship with Him. And it is not just a periodic time. Let me explain this. Fellowship isn't just a brief moment. Fellowship isn't when you get together for a moment, you pray, you read your Bible, and you're like, whoa, done with fellowship for the day. You know, when Paul was talking about his fellow laborers, what were they doing? They were there working together. Now, some of them weren't even in the same area as Paul. But what were they doing? They were fellows in that they were working for the same thing. When he had fellow prisoners, they were there in the same area sometimes, but they may have been in a different jail cell. They may have been in a different jail. They even may have been in a different area of a different place in jail at the same time Paul is. They're still fellow prisoners. Well, why are they there? They're prisoners because they were doing something that was for Jesus Christ. Look, fellowship is a constant day by day, hour by hour, purposed action in your life. God is calling you to do that. And when He calls you, He sets the tone in the first part of that where He says you must be faithful to it. If God is faithful, that calling to fellowship must be faithful too. You realize this? That Jesus Christ is faithful to that fellowship? You ever think about that? He's right there, isn't he? Why? Because he's in you. You're in him. He's not breaking the fellowship. It's faithful calling. It's something that is done with a close familiarity. Because look at what he says here. He says, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son. Of his Son. Keep your place there. Go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. This is a familiar verse, or it should be a familiar verse to you. I mean, what does he say there? He says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. So what are we talking about there? He's saying, you're now sons. You're family. You're family. You're adopted into the family of God. Amen? We have some people in here that have been adopted. That means somebody loved you and adopted you. Amen? And that's something to be joyous about. You know what? Jesus Christ, what God did is he loved you and he adopted you. And you said, yeah, I want to be part of that family. And if he's called you to the fellowship of his Son and your sons, there's the expectation there that this fellowship is not just a casual connection relationship like we would have with a fellow worker. This is something that is a fellow family member. This is the Son of God, and you guys are called sons of God, and there is a close, familiar connection. Not only is this calling... Look, I just realized it is alliterated. Good night. Not only is it a faithful calling, but it is a familial calling. Amen? There's the F again. Mike's got a great sermon about the F words he learned in church. Sorry, Mike, throwing you under the bus on that one. He's talking about faith. He's talking about fellowship. He's talking about those things. Okay? Amen? A little tongue-in-cheek on that one. But you understand what we're looking at is we're looking at something that is as a familiarity and a close connection with it. And if you're called unto the fellowship, it's the fellowship of his Son, and the Lord is choosing these words specifically in this verse to convey that definition of fellowship with that familial connection. God doesn't just choose these words randomly, okay? He just doesn't choose it to kind of sound eloquent. He chooses it for purpose. And he calls us to have this faithful connection. He calls us this to be in fellowship with his Son. And look, you realize what we're talking about, the fellowship of his Son? Can God deny himself? No. He can't deny Jesus Christ. He cannot deny the Son. It's an unbreakable bond. Aren't you glad that the love of God is unbreakable in your life? Amen. That you will never be unsaved? Amen. That you will never lose your salvation? Amen. Praise God for that. There's that unbreakable bond that is found in himself. Why? Because he's faithful. Because he's faithful. When we think about this fellowship and we think about what the Lord is calling us to do, I want us to think about a couple of things. You know, what the Lord is calling us to do reveals a design for his believers. It reveals a specific design. And we need to be of that same mindset, as I said. And that same mindset and the same purpose is why Jesus Christ was here. When he said he came not to do his own will, but what? The will of the Father. Hence, what he's talking about with his Son. And he did that to be our Savior. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I want you to think about this mindset. Romans chapter 7 and in verse 25, it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, this is verse 25 of chapter 7. I'll wait for the pages to stop. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Well, what is it that we serve with? We're serving with the mind. Now, some people are going to think, well, the brain matter up here. But remember, as we've talked about, that mind is the mind of the heart, the soulish thing. And the heart and the mind are connected together because that's where our thought processes originate, in the heart. So as we think about this passage and think about this, what he's saying, look, there's going to be a determined purpose in the transformed mindset in Romans chapter 12, that we are going to do what God is asking us to do, which is the will of the Father. That's exactly what Jesus Christ was doing. That's the same mindset. Turn to another passage here, in the same book, turn to chapter 15 of Romans. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and in verse 6 it says, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. And what is he talking about here? He's talking about something that's very specific, that we have the same mind, that we have the same purpose. Because look at what verse 5 says. Backing up, he says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. I read that one last because here's how you have to be like-minded. Did you notice the qualifiers? Patience and consolation. Yeah, that sounds like a fun way to do things. He says there. He says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Who was of that mindset? That was the mind of Christ. That is the mind of Christ. Take a look at another passage. Go back over to 1 Corinthians, where we just were. Look at the verse right after. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. What is he talking about? He's talking about that fellowship. And then he goes right into this. He says, now I beseech you. He's like, okay, you understand this? You understand you're supposed to be fellowshipping with Jesus Christ, that you're supposed to have that same mindset. You're supposed to be fellows in that manner and the same purpose. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. What does that mean? It means you don't deviate from what Jesus Christ said. It means that this is the way you do it. To avoid divisions in the church, you got to be of the same mindset. You got to be of the same mindset. And what is that mindset? That's the mindset of Jesus Christ. If you want to have relationships with other believers, it's going to start with your relationship with God first. If you have no relationship with God, you're not going to have the same type of relationship with other believers. You'll be divided. You'll be against. And he says, look, if we're going to do this, you have to be perfectly joined together. You have to be perfectly joined together. You have to have the same mind, you have to have the same judgment. Same mind, same judgment. And that same mind, same judgment is Jesus Christ. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And in Philippians chapter 2, I want you to read here what he says in verse 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which you is also in Christ Jesus. Then he goes through and he begins to describe how Jesus Christ was filled with humility. That he preferred others in charity before he preferred his own flesh. And he sets the standard. But the mindset that you want to discuss here in this passage goes back to verse 1. Verse 1 through 4, it says this in Philippians 2, if there be any consolation, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now that doesn't mean to be nosy, okay? You know what that means? That means you need to be concerned to not be a stumbling block to someone else. If your actions and your deeds are a stumbling block, God says that's sin. That's sin. Not only are you committing sin to another believer, but you're directly committing sin against God. And what we realize here is let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he expounds in detail. And what is that? That's with lowliness of mind. That's with comfort. That's with all the things that he just said. Look, if there's going to be any love, if there's going to be any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's going to be any connection in any way, shape, or form, we have to step back and in the same mindset as Christ was, to be fellows in humility and in humbleness and in lowliness. We say, that's how I'm going to have fellowship. That is how I'm going to have fellowship. This is the fellowship he's called us unto, folks. I turn over to 1 John. The Apostle John points this out. He points it out in great detail. And as we examine these passages and as we examine the book of 1 Corinthians, there's going to be this conclusion that the whole concept of the letter that he's giving to the Corinthians starts with the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And this means that if you want to eliminate those divisions, you want to eliminate those things of pride, there has to be a faithful fellowship with Christ first. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Well, how are they going to fellowship with these believers? How are they going to fellowship with the apostles? And he says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, that's how it starts, folks. John's lining up with what Paul's saying. Starts with the fellowship of Jesus Christ first. Starts with the fellowship of his Son. And he says, in these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It all goes back to that fellowship, amen? The fellowship with Christ. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ and his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, who's the truth? Jesus Christ. You find all of this going back to that relationship or that fellowship with Jesus Christ. And I will say, any relationship you have, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. This is what you do. You go back and you take a look at your relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you fellowshipping with him? If you are fellowshipping with him, and you are fellowshipping with him the way that he wants the fellowship, the way that he has asked for the fellowship, the way that he has described fellowship in Scripture, then guess what? The other fellowships that you have with the body of Christ with believers is going to line up to the same mindset. And we will truly be fellows together in the same fellowship of Jesus Christ. I'll leave you with this quote. You guys know I like Oswald Chambers. You want good withering conviction, read Oswald, amen. It's a tough read, by the way. You cannot casually read him. He said this: the most important aspect of Christianity is not the work we do, but the relationship we maintain and the surrounding influence and qualities produced by that relationship. And what relationship is he talking about? The relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, that is all God asks us to give our attention to. That's what he wants your attention on. Your relationship with God. Your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your fellowship with him, the Savior. And he says this, that is all God has asked us to give our attention to. And it is the one thing that is continually under attack. The reason that things exist like what's going on in the church at Corinth is because there was a direct attack on the fellowship with Christ. The chaos that ensued was because people were not realizing they were called to that fellowship. Which is why he points out, Paul, in the opening statements, church, that's your calling. That is your calling. Before you're called to be a witness to another person to pass out a tract or give them the gospel, before you are called to service in doing anything in the church or for Jesus Christ, to do anything of that need, look, it goes down to that first and foremost. And I would guarantee you, the devil, the world, and even your own flesh will throw everything in your way to keep you from fellowshipping with Jesus. And I say this, church, fight for that fellowship.
Yes.
That's what he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 6. Fight for that fellowship. You realize that at some point in time, God's Word Baptist Church is no longer going to be here? None of the churches that we see over there in the Bible exist today. Amen? And honestly, this church prayerfully will be abandoned the Sunday after the rapture. Amen? Okay. The church will no longer exist. Your fellowship with Jesus Christ is the most important part. You are called to that. Let's stand for prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I do want to take this moment in time and mention that above everything, that fellowship with Jesus Christ starts with responding to the call of salvation. The Lord calls to sinners to say that you can be saved. You can be saved from your sins. You can have forgiveness of sins. You can have a new purpose. You can have a new direction in this life. You can be a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you start a different fellowship with the Creator, our God and our Savior. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you have not believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do so. Somebody will take you and show you from the Word of God how you can have salvation, how you can be saved, to explain what that even means. If you're here today and you haven't done that, I encourage you that as we sing this hymn in closing, come forward. Believer, Christian, this is a check. This is a maintenance call. How's your fellowship with the Savior? So before you start worrying about fellowship with believers, focus on the fellowship with Christ. How is it? How is it? Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for this time. Lord, I thank you again for those that are here. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the fellowship with you. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful in that fellowship. Lord, may your Spirit and your word work in our hearts that we would be faithful to that calling of fellowship with you. For each person that is here, Lord, may we take the intent of this message, the purpose of your word, our hearts applied to it, to please you in the doing of your will. Again, Lord, I thank you for the salvation you have freely given. I thank you for your Spirit that teaches us. And I thank you for the word of guidance. I pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.